Investment flash.
Dow at 53,000. Buddy, that's a headline and a half. But if you pull back the curtain, the real story is a tech volatility spike that's straight out of the dot-com playbook. We're digging in.
Welcome to Investment Flash New York Edition for July 7th. I'm Marie, joined by Tom and Gerald. Markets closing at records, but the vibes underneath are anything but calm. Let's get into it.
All right, the Dow Industrials closed above 53,000 for the first time. Chip stocks led the charge, a nice comeback after a rough week. I mean, last session's rally was broad, not just a few names. This feels like a sentiment shift, not just a number.
Tom, the Dow's a price-weighted index of 30 stocks. It's a nice round number, but the S&P 500 is already near records too. What exactly is new? To be fair, the semiconductor ETF is still down 4.5% for the week and 10% off its high. That's not a comeback. It's a dead cat stretching.
Gerald, it's the direction that matters. The semis staged a rally in the face of all that AI overbuild worry. That's resilience. And the S&P 500 ETF is up 10% year-to-date. Momentum is momentum, buddy.
Tom, you literally said semis were cooked last quarter. Now they're the heroes of the Dow? Calling the bottom on memory chips again? That's six bottoms this cycle.
Fair, I got that wrong, but momentum shifts, Marie. That's the point.
Hang on, but Bloomberg's flagging that tech volatility relative to the S&P just hit dot-com bust levels. That's not resilience, that's anxiety. The VIX is still comatose at 16, but the volatility skew in tech is screaming. If earnings season disappoints, those growth names could get hit hard.
Exactly. The NASDAQ 100 ETF is 4% below its high, with a price-to-earnings ratio in the stratosphere. Tech volatility at dot-com extremes, while the broad market yawns. That's a disconnect, Tom. It's like a fire alarm going off in one wing of the building and everyone in the other wing ordering dessert.
Ha ha ha, ordering dessert. All right, fair enough. But the dessert might be the industrials and materials that Goldman is talking about. We've got the asset-heavy rotation signal. Those value names are moving, and that's what's pulling the Dow higher, not the tech names.
But Tom, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that Meta might actually rent out excess compute. If AI CapEx is already overbuilt, that undercuts the entire chip demand story. NVIDIA is 17% below its high, and Meta's rally on that news isn't a growth signal, it's cost-cutting.
Marie, one company renting out some GPUs doesn't mean the AI build is over. Hyperscalers are still spending billions. The chip stocks are just catching their breath. This is a buying opportunity, not a collapse.
All right, but while you two debate tech, there's a real value story brewing across the pond. The Financial Times reports the Bank of England is planning to ease bank capital rules. That frees up lending capacity for UK banks. Lloyd's is up 15% year-to-date, but Barclays is trading at a forward PE ratio of 8.5 and actually dipped nearly 2% last session. That's a gift with a regulatory tailwind.
Right, and this is a structural shift, not just a one-off. If capital requirements are permanently lower, it changes the earnings profile for these banks. And look at HSBC, still 8% below its high, with a 22% gain year-to-date. That's the kind of regulatory support that can keep running. But Gerald, is the market already pricing a lot of this? The FT exclusive might already be in the price.
To be fair, Lloyd's is near its high, so maybe it's priced. But Barclays, at a PE ratio of 8x forward earnings, that's still cheap, especially if the rules actually change. The market doesn't fully trust the Bank of England to deliver, so there's still upside if they do.
Exactly.
100%.
That's the value trade. But here's a wild card that could blow up all these correlations. The Financial Times is reporting a Qatari gas tanker was hit in the Strait of Hormuz. That choke point handles a massive slice of global energy traffic. The oil ETF is 32% below its 52-week high. Geopolitical risk is basically not priced.
For real? That's a catalyst. Energy stocks, natural gas, oil, they'd spike on any escalation. The energy sector ETF is up 16% year-to-date, but still 16% below its high.
If Hormoz heats up, that sector could catch a bid fast.
Tom, you're getting excited about a single tanker hit. The market's seen these incidents before and usually shrugs unless it's a sustained disruption. The oil ETF barely budged last session, up 0.33%. I'd wait for confirmation before jumping in.
Hold on, Gerald. The point isn't one tanker. It's the signal that the geopolitical premium has been bled dry. When something actually happens, it snaps back. And with the profit dollar thesis floating around, correlations might break. That's what makes this interesting. The old safe haven playbook doesn't necessarily apply.
Profit dollar? I saw that most original take. The FT saying the dollar is now about corporate profit repatriation, not safe havens. If that's true, then a Hormuz shock might not send the dollar flying like it used to. It could actually weaken if risk appetite holds. Weird, right?
Exactly. And that's where the yen volatility signal from OCBC comes in. If yen weakness and rising JGB yields spill over, the dollar might move for carry reasons, not for safety. The long bond ETF is at its 52-week low, and nobody's connecting that to equity valuations. That's the missing link.
Wait a second. Gerald, the yen volatility warning is a slow burn risk, not an imminent catalyst. We've been hearing about yen carry unwind for months. The Bank of Japan is still dovish. I think the bigger structural story is the payments shakeup. JP Morgan and Bank of America exploring a new card network? That could disrupt the Visa MasterCard duopoly. That's a real long-term shift.
No way! And JP Morgan shares near their high, Bank of America at a 52-week high too. But the forward PE ratio on JPM is 14, BAC under 12. That's not expensive. And if they can cut into Visa's margins, buddy, that's a growth story. Visa and MasterCard fell last session on just the rumor.
All right, Tom, but banking consortia have tried this before. Remember Apple Pay? It's a huge regulatory and operational lift. The banks might benefit eventually, but Visa is still trading at 24 times forward earnings with a 2% dip from its high. That's not a panic sell. I'd be careful shorting the incumbents.
No, but that's exactly my point. It's the threat that matters. The structure of payments is shifting. If JPM and BofA can create an alternative, it's not just about fees. It's about data and customer relationships. This is a multi-year theme. Visa at 24 times earnings looks vulnerable if the growth story cracks.
Right.
That's the play.
Speaking of JP Morgan, Marie, I believe we had a buy call on them yesterday in the London episode. Looks prescient with this news, no?
Fair enough, Gerald. Your value picks sometimes land, but that S-Corp call was something else.
We don't talk about S-Corp.
Anyway, while we're on Asia, the Chinese EV trust barrier story from the journal is a real headwind. Finland consumers are spooked about data security and CCP ties. NIO and BYD surged nearly 5% last session. You could fade that rally.
Exactly, and that's a tailwind for Tesla. Tesla jumped almost 7% last session, and it's still 16% below its high. If Western consumers stay wary of Chinese EVs, Tesla's market share is protected. That's a clean trade.
But Tom, the China AI story isn't as clear. BlackRock says it's stock-specific, not a regional bet. Baidu and Alibaba are cheap on forward PE ratio, 12 and 10 times, but they're down 24 and 37% year to date. That's catching a falling knife until there's a catalyst. Maybe watch them, but don't buy yet.
And then there's gold infrastructure. Hong Kong launching a trial clearing system. That's a long-term structural positive for gold demand, and maybe for Hong Kong financials. The gold ETF is 25% below its high, and the Hong Kong ETF is 14%. The market isn't pricing any of this ambition.
Yes, Hong Kong wants to be a bullion hub, because nothing says international financial center like a vault full of gold bars. But honestly, if it works, it's a real boost. I just wonder how many of these infrastructure plays actually gain pricing power.
Okay, Gerald, you'd bet against a gold rush? Gold has been range-bound, but this could be a catalyst. I'm watching.
Watching is exactly right.
not everything needs immediate action. All right, let's step back. The Dow at 53,000 is a headline, but it's papering over a market that's deeply conflicted. Tech volatility at dot-com levels, the VIX still at 16. Either the fear is contained and the rally broadens, or it's a leading indicator of stress. We lean toward the latter, especially with earnings season starting.
But Marie, the counter-argument is that the tech volatility is just a mechanical blip ahead of earnings dispersion. And the Dow's record is being driven by exactly the asset-heavy value names Goldman is touting. If industrials and materials deliver, the rotation into value could decouple the Dow from the Nasdaq, making the tech volatility a sideshow. That's plausible.
Tom, the problem is nobody's mentioning the Federal Reserve. The long bond ETF at its 52-week low is pricing in a hawkish reality. If rates stay higher, that multiple compression on growth stocks isn't going away. And the profit dollar thesis implies dollar strength isn't about safety, it's about profit chasing. That could upend correlations across commodities and emerging markets. The press is silent on this, and that's the opportunity.
Exactly. So the cleanest expression of today's signals is to fade the tech rally with volatility hedges, long the VIX or put spreads on the NASDAQ 100 ETF, while staying long industrial and material cyclicals on the asset-heavy theme. The tensions between record highs and historic volatility warnings are too large to ignore.
Right, and the asset-heavy rotation is already working. Goldman's call aligns with the price action. I'd buy the industrial ETF at its high and the materials ETF near its high, and short the communication services ETF, which is down nearly 6% year-to-date.
But remember, all of this hinges on earnings. If the capital-intensive companies deliver, the trade works. If they don't, the rotation could reverse fast. And with today's cross-currents, hedging tech makes sense regardless.
As always, none of this is investment advice, just our take on connecting the dots.
That's it for today's New York edition. We're back at 7:30 a.m. London time tomorrow. And if you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify or check investmentflash.com for the full digest with charts and sources.
See you then, everyone.